for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Is now and ever shall. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you give your children many blessings, even though we are undeserving. In every trial and temptation, grant us steadfast confidence in your loving kindness and mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from the book of the prophet Isaiah in the 56th chapter. Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 11th chapter. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. For I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Now I am speaking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch then as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry in order somehow to make my fellow Jews jealous and thus save some of them. For if their rejection means the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance mean but life from the dead? As regards the gospel, they are enemies of God for your sake. But as regards election, they are beloved for the sake of their forefathers. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were at one time disobedient to God, but now have received mercy because of their disobedience, so they too have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they also may now receive mercy. For God has consigned all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she is crying out after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, What do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Like the Canaanite woman in St. Matthew's Gospel, let us hold fast to our merciful Lord and be strengthened by his final words to her. O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. This is our text. When we think about the greatness of faith, we might be surprised by those who are praised by Jesus. In St. Matthew's Gospel, there are only two people who receive the highest praise from Jesus for their faith, the top marks among his followers, and they are two Gentiles. The first is a Roman centurion with a sick servant. This Roman centurion confesses that he's unworthy to have Jesus enter his house. He also confesses that Jesus has authority simply to say the word and heal his servant. Such faith, Jesus says, cannot even be found in Israel. The second person praised for their great faith is the Canaanite woman in today's gospel reading. This woman who has a demon-possessed daughter. This woman who considers herself no better than a dog begging for scraps from the Lord's table. Despite Jesus' silence, even though he says that he's been sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, she persists in asking for his mercy. Her faith, Jesus says, is great. What might surprise us is when we begin to compare these two Gentiles with what we heard last week. Last Sunday, you might recall, we heard about the disciples in the boat on the Sea of Galilee in a storm and bold, courageous Peter climbing out of the boat to walk on water with Jesus. And then being afraid of the wind and the waves, and then sinking, and then crying out for salvation. Here's the man who's a leader of the apostles. Here's a man ready to risk his life to follow Jesus. Here's a man, as we'll hear next Sunday, who most clearly confesses Jesus to be the Messiah. And yet Jesus says to great Peter, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" In fact, it's not just Peter. All the disciples are rebuked by the Lord for their little faith, and more than once. So if we would learn to have great faith, then we should look not at the disciples, but at this simple Gentile woman. This simple Gentile woman in need who holds fast to Jesus. For great faith, and here I'm speaking not in the way the world would speak of something great, but in the way that Jesus speaks of something great. Great faith isn't measured by a person's accomplishments or plans or pious words. It's not about stepping out into uncharted waters or leaping anywhere. Although we use the phrase leap of faith, I don't think you can find that anywhere in the scriptures. In fact, great faith appears very much to be the opposite. Great faith, as Jesus praises in this woman, has nothing to offer. It has nothing to boast about. It has no great works that it does. It has nothing to show off. Faith like this can't be gained by intellectual study or academic achievement. Faith like this shouldn't be confused with our feelings, whether of joy or of sadness, because great faith like this isn't a human achievement at all. As if a person somehow is able to get faith or to manufacture it or to whip it up. Great faith like this is a gift. So where does faith come from? Faith like that of the Canaanite woman. Well, we heard last Sunday in the reading from Romans chapter 10, faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. A Christian is conceived through the ear, and a Christian lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, we don't know how it happened for this Canaanite woman. She's not living within Israel. She's living in a northwest area that is a Canaanite or a Gentile area. How she heard of the good news of Jesus coming, how she heard of Jesus' mercy and help and compassion for all, We don't know. But she heard. And when she heard, she believed. Faith sprang into her heart, and faith took hold of that word. Faith took hold of what she heard preached about Jesus, and her faith ran after Christ. As your pastor, my job is to fill your ears with that word. My job is to fill your ears with that word so that you are drawn again and again to Christ and you run after him like that Gentile woman. And the heart of that word is this, that Jesus has come, that Jesus is merciful, that Jesus helps and is compassionate toward you so that you, like that woman, might call on the name of the Lord and receive his salvation. Because this is exactly what that Canaanite woman did when faith took hold of her. She called out to Jesus. Her voice was heard crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." The church still prays like that Canaanite woman. We still confess our unworthiness, and we still appeal to the mercy of God alone. You did it again already this morning. Our prayer every single Sunday, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Not a faith that calls out, "Hey, look at me, aren't I great?" But a faith that looks to Jesus and his mercy alone. When we say, "Lord, have mercy," we are saying that we deserve nothing of the things for which we pray. And yet we ask all the things we pray for from God by grace, because he desires to have mercy on all, on Jews and Gentiles, on men and women, on young and old, even on the sinful and the disobedient. Do you believe all that? Do you still come and call out, expecting the Lord Jesus Christ to have mercy on you? Do you hold fast to the promises that he's given you in his word and in your baptism, and the forgiveness that's found in the absolution and in Christ's words of institution with this bread and this wine? Do you cling to what you have heard preached about this man, Jesus? What sets this Canaanite woman apart is that she won't let go of Jesus. No matter how silent he is, no matter how unfeeling or uncaring he seems to be, she continues to trust in him. She continues to trust in his mercy and in his goodness. She keeps on asking, and she keeps on praying, and she keeps on approaching with confidence. And that's an amazing thing. Because when she first spoke to Jesus, he certainly didn't act in keeping with his reputation for mercy. You remember how her first plea was received? With silence. They seemed to fall on deaf ears. He didn't answer her a word. Not a single word in reply. As if she had said nothing at all. As if she and her demon-possessed daughter didn't even exist. This Jesus, so different than what she expected, so cold, so unfriendly, not at all kind or compassionate. She easily could have given up and gone home, believing that the word she'd heard about him was untrue, that they'd oversold his mercy, it wasn't all that great. And if she'd gone home at that point, she probably would have gone about setting the record straight with others. When someone said, "Oh, did you hear about that Jesus guy and his mercy?" she would have said, "What mercy?" I probably would have left at that point. But she didn't. Instead, this woman ignored what she experienced in her body right there with Jesus, and she held fast to the bare word of God. You see, she had to actually set aside what she was experiencing right there in that moment with Jesus and cling to the word that she'd heard. She didn't trust her eyes. She didn't trust her ears, which were empty at that point, or her body, but she trusted the word she'd heard. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, even when it seems like the word of God is untrue, like this Canaanite woman. May God grant each of us courage and faith in every time of need, and especially in the hour of death, to keep and hold fast to his word. Then the disciples ask Jesus to send her away. I suppose the best construction is to think that maybe the disciples were asking Jesus just to get it over and done with and heal her and send her off, but it actually doesn't even sound that good. It sounds more like the disciples are a bit annoyed and they want to get rid of her and stop her cries. Just send her away, Jesus. And Jesus answers, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We don't know if he's talking to the disciples or to the woman, but either way, you can assume that she overhears it. And what it means, or seems to mean, is that his mercy isn't for all. Seems to me that his mercy is limited in some way. He seems to exclude the whole Gentile world from his grace, despite what we heard spoken by the prophet Isaiah, who said, the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, and who said that the Lord gathers yet others besides Israel. It's a hard thing when the heart feels that God's word is true for others, but not for me. It's a hard thing when the heart feels as if God is telling us to stop believing or stop praying or stop trusting in this Jesus as if he's not for us. And if I heard those words, I probably would have done exactly that. But not this Canaanite woman. She goes on. Such persistence, such perseverance, such confidence in the mercy and compassion of God when it seems most uncertain and most untrue. So she comes yet again, and she kneels before Jesus, and she says, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I'm not letting go. And that's when she receives the worst blow yet. Jesus answered, it isn't right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He calls her a dog. He says that she's unworthy to partake of the children's bread, that she's a person who is condemned and outcast. What further hope does she have? What more is there to say or do except to leave with her tail between her legs. And that's what I would have done. But she doesn't. She doesn't despair or give up, but she agrees with his word. She says, if you want to call me a dog, then I'll be a dog, and I want nothing more than a dog's share. Give me the crumbs that fall from the table of the Lord. She's happy to be a begging dog. Happy to be a dog who receives just the merest scraps of Jesus' mercy, so long as that mercy comes from Jesus. And then Jesus answered her. Then, at the very end, he says, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. A great faith, not because she leaped out and leapt out and did something amazing or huge. A great faith because of her dogged persistence in holding to Jesus. And now Jesus allows himself to be trapped. Now our Lord allows himself to be caught in his own gracious words. He will be merciful to her and to you. You see, the point isn't even about this woman's persistence or her perseverance, although we certainly can learn from this Gentile woman to always pray and never lose heart. The point about her great faith is ultimately about this Jesus Christ, that she will not let go of him, that he is the one she clings to, even when it feels like she's getting no answer, even when it feels like God is silent, even when it's as if she is being kicked to the side. She holds fast to him. She trusts in the mercy of Christ. She trusts that he is and will hear her prayers and answer them, that he is always faithful to his promises, despite what we so often see or feel in our lives. It's about holding fast to him. To him who was crucified and risen for us. It's about holding fast to that word of forgiveness, about clinging to his victory over death, about trusting in the hope of the resurrection. Not because I am great or my faith is great, but because what he has done is great, and we won't let him go until he blesses us. A little bit like Jacob, who wrestled with God. You might remember that account. And Jacob is wrestling, and the light is breaking. And God says to Jacob, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." That's what this woman is like as well. It means for us that we are to stick with our baptisms no matter what. That we are to cling to the promises that he has given, despite whatever we may see or feel in our lives. It's about knowing that our Lord truly gives us more than crumbs, no matter how small the bread is that we eat. And however else it might seem that he responds to our prayers, to that cry of, "Lord, have mercy," we have the most certain reply of all in the words and promises of Christ that we hear in his word and in his church. Today, we receive his reply from this altar, where our Lord pours out his mercy on us and feeds us as we cling to him. "Lord, help me. Lord, have mercy. Lord, I will not let you go." He says, "Take, eat. This is my body. Take, drink. This is my blood. I give myself to you." And we have again our merciful Jesus. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. For true unity in the faith, for the preservation of pure doctrine, for harmony in the lives of our congregation, district, and synod, for charitable hearts that put the best construction on what we see and hear, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For those outside the kingdom, for missionaries near and far, and especially for the mission work in Eurasia, for all outreach of our church through which the gospel is spoken to those who have not heard, and for those who hear, that they may be brought to faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all families, for husbands and wives to live in faithfulness to each other, for Catherine and Tech as they prepare for marriage, for all mothers with child, especially for Tiffany, Kelsey, Stephanie, Rachel, and Laura, for Cara and David and their newborn son, Samuel Arthur, for all children, and for those who bring them to baptism and nurture them in the faith, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our president, the Congress, our governor, all elected and appointed leaders, all judges and magistrates, the members of the armed forces, especially for Anthony, Brandon, Kalisha, Justin, Tim, Jeremy, Robin, Jake, John, Dalton, Andrea, Megan, John, Stephen, and Emily. And for our police, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel in their duties to protect and serve us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the healing of the sick, the relief of the suffering, the comfort of the grieving, and the peace of the dying, especially for Cheryl Wade's neighbor Jan in her mourning, for Anne recovering from surgery, for Kay, Thane's mother, for Cordy and Care2 recovering from their surgeries, for Judy as she undergoes testing, for baby Emery and the entire Collier family, for Eric's nephew Carl and his failing liver and kidney, that he may be drawn to the Lord, and for all who care for them in their afflictions, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy assembly and for our communion upon the Lord's body and blood, and for us to bear in our lives the fruits of the Spirit and do the good works for which we were created, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all honest work and occupations, for our good use of the fruits of our labors, for generosity for those in need, and the wise use of all benevolence gifts, and for the tithes and offerings that accompany our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our remembrance of the saints, and in thanksgiving for their faithful witness, that at last we may be joined with them in your eternal presence, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, giver of all that is good, mercifully hear the prayers of your people, and grant us your grace, that we may endure the changes and chances of this mortal life, and be found worthy when our Savior comes, to bring to completion all things. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is good and right and meet you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Oh.
but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
Bless be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.